Rose and Connor Cobalt aren't your typical romance novel couple. Their love language consists of vocabulary competitions, philosophical debates, and chess games with unique stakes. When Connor captures a piece, Rose removes clothing. When Rose captures one, Connor shares a truth. Their relationship began at Model UN when 15-year-old Connor encountered Rose delivering an impromptu speech about gender discrimination that left the entire assembly spellbound. Even then, he was drawn to her storm-like intensity that breaks his mundane existence. 11 years later, they've built a life where their books intermingle in a shared library without clear ownership, creating an ongoing dialogue through annotations in the margins. They frequently speak French to each other, switching between formal and informal address as a reflection of how their relationship evolved from competitors to partners. As Connor explains, "Our relationship began formally as competitors, so we switch between the two as we please. The rules don't apply to us." Their intellectual equality forms the foundation of their relationship. They don't complete each other, they enhance who they already are. Despite their wealth and privilege, the Calloway sisters, Rose, Lily, and Daisy, along with their partners, have created a support system that transcends conventional family structures. When Daisy reveals she needs to have an ovary removed due to endometrioma cysts, threatening her ability to have children, Rose immediately offers, "My uterus is all yours. Whenever you want one, I'm ready." This willingness to serve as a surrogate demonstrates Rose's unconditional love, prioritizing her sister's happiness above all else. Even when Rose finally moves into a mansion down the street with Connor and their daughter Jane, all three sisters break into tears despite the short distance between their new homes. Family loyalty prevails in business matters too. When Lo mentions his half-sister Willow is being harassed by press, Rose immediately offers her a guest room. She's your family. What is there to think about? The novel portrays family not as a static entity, but as an evolving, chosen connection that requires active nurturing and fierce protection. Rose and Connor battle constant paparazzi intrusion, with photographers documenting their every move and tabloids dissecting their relationship. Their clever defense? Creating deliberate distractions. Connor sports an obvious hickey, they stage a sex shop visit, and Connor performs a bar-top striptease on St. Patrick's Day, all to shield their daughter Jane from media attention. The psychological toll emerges when media outlets question their marriage's authenticity after Connor's ex-boyfriend speaks out. Rose breaks down in her closet, screaming into a fur coat as reporters invalidate both her marriage and motherhood. Through tears, she asks why she can't be allowed to grow beyond who she was at 18, highlighting how media narratives freeze people in time, refusing to acknowledge personal evolution. The ultimate violation comes through non-consensual sex tapes distributed for profit, becoming a central conflict as they struggle to reclaim control of their narrative. When Scott Van Wright moves across the street and reveals he's purchased sex tapes of Rose and Connor, threatening to release them unless they return to reality television with their children, the couple must navigate complex moral territory. Connor initiates a fake friendship with Scott, bringing him expensive wine and enduring vulgar comments about Rose while executing an elaborate plan to bring him down. This strategic deception requires Connor to compartmentalize his emotions and play a role that disgusts him. The emotional cost becomes evident when Connor confesses to Rose, "I hate myself for what I just did." Despite his logical understanding of the necessity, betraying his own values leaves him deeply shaken. Rose's response, "You must forgive yourself," highlights the moral complexity of using manipulation, even for righteous ends. Their approach contrasts sharply with Scott's exploitation and blackmail, demonstrating how similar tactics can serve either protection or predation depending on the underlying intent. Through this conflict, we see how power dynamics shape relationships and how the most brilliant minds navigate ethical dilemmas when protecting those they love. Rose and Connor initially shield themselves from vulnerability, she with perfectionism and sharp words, he with emotional detachment and control. Their relationship deepens through moments of genuine vulnerability. When Connor is forced to watch their private sex tape with Scott and speak crudely about Rose, he breaks down afterward, confessing, "I hate myself for what I just did." This emotional display marks significant growth for someone who typically maintains perfect control. Similarly, when Rose admits how deeply the sex tapes affected her despite her pretense, their bond strengthens rather than weakens. The novel challenges gender expectations around vulnerability. When Connor cries, Rose sees extraordinary strength rather than weakness. Their journey reveals that true power comes not from emotional invulnerability, but from the courage to be fully seen, flaws and all, by those we trust with our hearts. Throughout their relationship, Connor demonstrates exemplary communication practices, consistently ensuring mutual understanding and comfort. They develop clear nonverbal signals for expressing boundaries and preferences, allowing both partners to maintain agency in their interactions. When faced with uncertainty about relationship progression, Connor responds with understanding and emphasizes the importance of preparation, open dialogue, and personal autonomy. He validates his partner's personal boundaries with the wisdom that individual comfort levels deserve respect, regardless of their source. The narrative contrasts these positive examples with serious privacy violations. When confronted with unauthorized digital content, Connor recognizes the breach of trust and takes appropriate action. The story further explores digital ethics through Daisy's experience with inappropriate content distribution. Upon discovering evidence of exploitation, Connor supports Daisy in taking legal action, empowering her to advocate for herself through proper channels. This demonstrates how consent must be active, informed, and ongoing in all contexts. The story effectively illustrates both positive and negative examples of boundary respect, highlighting the importance of clear communication protocols, respect for personal limits, appropriate responses to boundary violations, supporting others in maintaining their autonomy, understanding consent as an ongoing process. These themes underscore broader lessons about healthy relationships, digital responsibility, and personal empowerment. At its heart, Fuel the Fire presents love as a revolutionary force capable of transforming individuals and challenging societal expectations. When Lo creates the trending hashtag #RCCThisIsLove with candid photos of Rose and Connor, thousands share their own definitions of love, inspired by their relationship. Connor's admission to Rose, "I'm always whomever people need me to be, but you were the only one who needed me to be me," reveals how true love enables authentic self-expression rather than performance. Their relationship demonstrates how love validates rather than diminishes individual identity. The burning of their sex tapes in the backyard fire pit becomes a powerful ritual of transformation, watching dark moments turn to ash while sharing deeply personal wedding vows. Connor whispers, "So long as I may be living, I live with you," and Rose replies with her own vow, both agreeing that forever is not nearly long enough. Their story proves that love, when embraced authentically, becomes a catalyst for profound personal transformation by giving us courage to be more fully ourselves.